Welcome to Beth Tikkun, to the second week of our journey through the Minor Prophets. Tim is out this week, so you get second string. We're looking at Hosea today, and Hosea is a somewhat uncomfortable book to go through. There are some uncomfortable themes, but we'll see what we can find as we go through it. Hosea is a prophet thought to be from about 760 to 720 BC. This would have been during the kingship in the northern kingdom of the second Jeroboam, son of Joash. It was a good time for Israel, the northern kingdom. They were economically doing pretty well. The neighbors were mostly being held at bay, and life was fairly easy for the northern kingdom at the time. So the people were getting comfortable. And some would say lazy, and some would say well-fed. We'll come back to well-fed in a minute. Hosea, the word of God comes to Hosea. Hosea, his name, means salvation. Now, we've heard before of Joshua and Yeshua, their names meaning salvation. So does Hosea's name mean salvation. And we'll see this picture of salvation in his writings here as we go through it. His dad, Beeri, that name means cistern or well. It's a source of life or a storage area. Interesting, the only other instance of Beeri is in Genesis. It's the father of Esau's wife, Judith, was named Beeri. Is there a connection? Well, I don't know. That might be a topic for another time. But last week we talked about Obadiah, and that was a prophecy to Esau's people. So this week we talk about the son of someone named Beeri, and maybe there's a connection. Hosea is told to marry a wife out of harlotry, and this is where the difficult topics come in. Gomer is the woman he selected. It's not clear if she was a prostitute or a harlot before she got married or after. We don't really know, and it probably doesn't really matter. The whole of Hosea's life at this point is becoming the prophecy that God wants him to speak and do. So his prophecy is for an extended period of time, some 40 years. The children of Israel's attention span is kind of short, so I wonder how this prophecy was received. But he was told to marry a wife out of harlotry, and he does. He marries Gomer, daughter of Diblaim. And they have children. And before we even get into the prophecy, the meanings of the prophecy and all of that, he has to have this family. out of harlotry. We don't know if the children that come to this family are his or out of the harlotry. All we know is that this is what the Lord called Hosea to do. He called salvation to join with someone who wasn't faithful and to have a family with them. So that's his story. And we're going to dive right into Hosea's story. It happens over many years. He marries. They immediately have a son. He's commanded to call the son Jezreel. And there's reasons for it. Jezreel is the name of the valley, main valley of the northern kingdom. It's just to the southwest of the Red Sea. Towns like Bethlehem and Nazareth are on the edge of it. There's a lot that happens in Jezreel, and part of the prophecy is what will happen in the Valley of Jezreel. So Jezreel is born and named, and then they have a daughter, Lo Ramaha, no mercy. Would you really name a child No Mercy? Well, in this case, God said yes. You're going to name this child No Mercy because he will have no mercy on the kingdom of Israel. And then they have a son, another son, Lo Ami, not my people. Because God is saying, because you're not paying attention to me, because you're not being faithful to me, because you're not following my commands, you're not going to be my people much longer. So they have these three children, and it's clear in the text that at some point she steps away from this marriage, this family. Gomer is off doing her thing. And he tries to lure her back. And he's doing what he can. Does she come back? Perhaps. We're not really clear on that. But as we get into the third chapter of Hosea, it is clear that he has to go buy her back. He redeems her. He pays money for her and brings her back, and they become a family again. That's the story, that's the life story of Hosea. Now, once we get past the life story of Hosea and what God has asked him to live out before the children of Israel, before the northern kingdom, is a life of uncertainty for him, a difficult life for him, a life of unfaithfulness of his wife, and a life of redemption. It's all played out for the people. And then there's a message. And the message is really broken into two parts. Once we get past his story, it's a message to Israel. So we look at chapters 4 through 6, and this is a message to the northern kingdom, to Israel, to Jeroboam's kingdom, and it's a message that, folks, you're being unfaithful. You've stepped away from God, and it's a long text. Not as long as the next message, but it's a long text about their unfaithfulness, their ignoring God's commands, and how they've stepped away. Then there's a third section to Hosea. This is the second part of his prophecy, and it's addressed not to Israel, but to Ephraim. Now, why this change? Why change from Israel to Ephraim? Sometimes Ephraim is a synonym for Israel, and they mean the exact same thing, just different names, different context. Is that the reason that we have a different section here in Hosea to talk to Ephraim? Well, perhaps. Sometimes using the term Ephraim is almost like a nickname, a familiar name, a more intimate name. We're not trying to address the nation. We're trying to focus more on people as individuals, and make this more personal, more intimate. That might be the reason we go into this separate section and addressing Ephraim. It's much the same message. They're being unfaithful. They're not following God's word. Bad things are going to happen as a result of that. Perhaps that's why we're getting a new addressee of this prophecy. There's also another possibility here, and this is perhaps a more forward-looking portion of the prophecy, where Ephraim, if we remember, was born of Joseph and his wife, who was an Egyptian. That would make them non-blood Israelites. Is this really a prophecy now addressed to another group of people? People who perhaps don't even exist yet, because it will be another body of people, what we would now refer to as the Messianic Church, the Apostolic Church, the group of believers who aren't blood kin to the Israelites. It could be that. Could be all three of those. But there's a whole section here, chapters 7 through 13, that are addressed to Ephraim. And as you read through it, and I'm not going to today, it's the precisely the same message that he gave to Israel in the first few chapters. The prophecy is the same. You've stepped away. You've ignored God's word, and bad things are going to happen. When we did an introduction in the home group that I'm part of, one of the questions that I asked was, when you think of prophets, what do you think of? And one of the first response was, the old man in the beard with the placard on the front and the back that says, the end is near. And that's kind of where Hosea is here. He's saying, the end is near. You've stepped away from God. Well, as part of that introduction, we pointed out that in each of the prophets, not just the minor prophets, but the longer prophets as well. There is very definitely the story of you're doing wrong. Bad things are going to happen because you're doing wrong. But in each of the prophets, there's a nugget. There's a little bit of gold. There's compassion. There's mercy. And God reveals that in each of the prophecies. And that's really what I want to focus on with Hosea here, because he is salvation. God provides salvation. When we look at even the term harlotry, we immediately think of adultery. Well, there's also another meaning to harlotry. And you might be a little surprised by it. It means highly fed or wanton lust. And perhaps that throws a little different color on what Hosea is talking about here and what God is speaking through Hosea. Remember, the kingdom of Israel at this time is living pretty well. They are economically successful. Militarily, their enemies are at bay. Life is pretty good for them. And when life is easy, we get lazy. When things come easy, we tend to overindulge. And perhaps that's where Israel is at this point. Because life is easy, they've lost sight of their first love. They've lost sight of why they even exist. They've lost sight of God. They can feed themselves too easily. They don't have to pray, and they've forgotten the promises back in Deuteronomy, where if you obey, life is easy. But when you disobey, that blessing is removed, and it becomes a curse. And as you read through these prophecies, the bad things that are going to happen are precisely what was spoken of in Deuteronomy when those blessings are removed. It becomes hard to eat. You're taken into captivity. You're separated from the land. A lot of bad things happen. But there is hope. There is mercy. There is compassion. And there is a blessing. So what are the blessings that Hosea speaks? Well, there's four of them. The first one comes about in chapter 2. When we're still within the story of Hosea and his family, and Hosea tries to allure Gomer back. Starting in verse 14, therefore, behold, I will allure her, bring her in to the wilderness and speak kindly to her. And it goes on for a few verses. And it ends up with verse 19 and 20 here. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness, and in compassion. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. This is a passage that has special meaning, particularly to the children of Israel and to the men. when they wind up their phylactery on their wrist and they're putting the box on their hand and they're winding the ties for that up their arm and over their bicep, one of the passages that they recite is verses 19 and 20 here. Vereshtik, I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice and loving kindness and in compassion. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. That is part of their ritual in tying their reminders onto their body. It comes directly from Hosea. We need to remember what God has done for us. God remembers us. So the second one comes out of chapter 6. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. On the right page here. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will rise us up on the third day, that we may live before him. What does that sound like? That sounds an awful lot like the work Yeshua himself did for us. He will heal us. He's wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day. So let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn. He will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. And that refers directly back to Deuteronomy and the blessings of the rain in the right time. By the way, since we're in this area, this passage here, chapter 6, there is a quote from Yeshua from chapter 6 that you might remember. For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offering. Do you remember that? Yeshua himself is quoting from Hosea. So what Hosea has to say is something that we really need to pay attention to. The third passage comes out of Hosea chapter 11. And this is speaking directly to Ephraim, speaking very personally, or perhaps to a different group of people, or even to Israel itself. But I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not destroy Ephraim again. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst. I will not come in wrath. They will walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. Indeed, he will roar, and his sons will come trembling from the west. They will come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria. Coming back home, I will settle them in their houses, declares the Lord. God has compassion. God has mercy. And when we look at how Hosea sums up and finishes the prophecy, the word that God gave to him, "Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. You have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously." And he ends that section. This is chapter 14. "O Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I am like a luxuriant cypress. From me comes your fruit. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them. But the transgressors will stumble in them." He finishes up reminding us that God will give us his blessings. He will heal us. He will love us. He will put us back home. He will give us the rain, the provisions that we need, if we remember him. And that's the fourfold message here in Hosea. Remember him. Return to him. Remember the work that he's going to do. It may hurt, but he's going to raise us up and save us in those 3 days and set us up again. He'll restore us to our homes. Just remember him, and the blessings will come. That's what salvation says. That's what Hosea says. Let's remember God. Let's follow his ways. And let's return to our homes. Thank you. Have a good conversation with your group.